Life Audio.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations.
We want families to come here and gain insightful strategies that empower them to successfully teach diverse learners at home.
Hosted by founder and CEO of Sped Homeschool, Peggy Ployer.
Our goal is that these powerful weekly conversations will boost your confidence to cultivate the best at-home learning environment for your student.
For more homeschool resources, go to spedhomeschool.com. You're listening to Empowering Homeschool Conversations with Peggy Ployer. We'll start the conversation with Peggy and her guests next.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations, provided by Sped Homeschool, a nonprofit that empowers families to home educate diverse learners. To learn more, visit spedhomeschool.com. Here's Peggy Ployer.
Today, we're going to learn about how to cultivate a vibrant spiritual life with your God-given creative gifts as a parent with special guest Annie Yorty. Welcome, Annie, and thank you for being with us today.
Hi, thanks so much for having me here today. I'm struggling a little with my voice, but I hope y'all bear with me on that. I'm doing the best I can.
Oh, yes. Yep. And we've been praying that her voice will last. And so we're hoping that she just hangs on. And Annie has so much to share, and she's an experienced homeschooling mom, a special needs mom. And I would just love for you to kind of kick off in helping our audience get to know you a little bit and some of your background. Mm-hmm. And then we'll kind of dive into our topic today about this cultivating spiritual creativity and how that relates to homeschooling and parenting. We'll get there, I promise.
Okay. Yes, we will. Kick us off. Yeah. So I'll just go back to one of the most important event in my life was when I got to know the Lord Jesus as my Savior, and that happened when I was 16. Wow. And it came about as a result of some really difficult life circumstances at that time. And, I turned to Him pretty much in desperation and, turn my life over to Him, but I really had no clue what that meant. So I spent quite a few years.
Yeah.
I really spent some time drifting, let's just say, because I didn't have anyone to share more with me or teach me. So God used an event in my 20s to really reel me in from what I call my wandering. So that's when I had my daughter who has Down syndrome. So that's when, my faith, the little bit I had, was really, really tested, but it started to really grow at that point. So, it is.
When it's tested, it grows.
God is faithful. That's just, it all comes from Him. Nothing of that was from me. But by that time, I was married, been married now for 38 years to my husband, Jeff. Yeah, it's, I'd like to say it was all blissful. It's not. I'm a real person. So
yeah, exactly.
There's work involved, but the commitment is there. So we keep at it, and we have made it this far, and by God's grace, we'll keep going.
Absolutely.
But Jeff was in the military for many years, so we moved around quite a bit. We've lived in four or five states, something like wow. that. And so I've homeschooled in several of those states. And before I homeschooled, I had been an accountant. So, you know, had a little varied experience. I will say homeschooling is the best by far.
So, going from accountant to talking about creativity. So this is going to be a good conversation.
Yes, I'm going to tell you how accountants are creative.
Yes. Well, hopefully in a legal way.
Yes. Okay, this is true. Yes. Always within the bounds of the law.
Right. Yeah. Actually, before we started, I was watching a whole thing on the IRS and I started a new side business and I'm like, oh no, I got to figure out how to do taxes, not only for a nonprofit, but also a small business. Indeed. So yes.
It's interesting. I hate taxes. I confess that. But anyways, yeah. I mentioned, you know, that I had a daughter with Down syndrome with special needs. Yes. She was my first and she is now 33 years old. She still lives with us. I have a son who is 26. He is, I homeschooled him for all of his years and he now works in IT. Right. And then awesome. I have now a 16-year-old that I'm raising. And that was a bit of a surprise because she just came to us a year and a half ago. So we jumped back into the teen years. It's been interesting.
Absolutely. Yes. Especially when you're not expecting it, that can kind of throw a wrench in some things. But, you know, it's God provides, and
He does. Yeah, I feel certain He equipped me for this time, and He called me for this time, and so I'm just trusting Him. It was not what I planned for sure, but here we are, and it's been good.
Exactly. Well, that was an awesome introduction. And I hope that as you're listening, you're saying, yes, I just can't wait to hear everything else that Annie has to share. And, but for the questions that she sent me, I promise you, you want to hang around. Mm-hmm. So Creative Minds Homeschooling is joining us on YouTube. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. And I'm not sure if it's broadcasting on Facebook or not with the broadcasting stream service that I use said it was having some issues with Facebook this morning. So that might not be possible. But if you're watching either from Facebook or YouTube, just know that you can put comments or questions in the feed. Also, if you're on our newsletter email list, know that we send out a link the night before and you can submit questions ahead of time for our guests. So if you can't even join us live, but you have a question specifically for a guest, know that you can submit those. So we're going to actually include one today that was submitted by one of the people within our community who used that new resource out there. So that's just some about housekeeping right there. If you're listening on the podcast, sorry, we have to do that when we're live. And we'd love for you to join us live, too. So check out our broadcast schedule to see who's coming up. So, Annie, as we kind of dive into this subject, how did God show you the need to feed your spirit?
Well, I never gave it much of a thought outside of the idea of studying the Bible, you know, that you need to have that, of course.
Yeah.
That's a given for all of us. But I first started homeschooling with my daughter, and it came as a surprise to me, and because she was in the middle of elementary school, and I had really been locked into my thinking that we would have that we would work with the public school for her education because of her special needs. I really never gave homeschooling a thought.
Yeah.
So we had a 2-year battle with this school system. And it was,
of course,
number one,
more
exhausting.
Yes. Yes. Not.
But, you know, I got through that. And at the end of it, there's a whole long story. I won't get into all that. But at the end of it, I decided that God was, you know, God changed the course completely from public school to homeschool. And so I was like, okay, I'm all in. I'm a type A. So I, you know, did my
research. Get your schedule all together. Yes.
Yep. And I got the list out and, you know, just had the ducks in a row as far as I figured I could. But you know, we started a homeschool group and, and got the co-op going and all that. So it was, a pretty busy year. And I, you know, and like a lot of people, I think I probably came at it with the idea of just doing school at home.
Yes. Yeah. You know? That is pretty
difficult. That can be pretty exhausting
and not be. Much yes, fun. Exactly. So listen carefully. If this is your first year, or you're just thinking of diving in, don't do school at home. Keep listening.
Well, yes. So I had this like really pie-eyed view of homeschooling. I'm like, we are just going to love homeschooling and we'll do it winter, summer, fall, and spring, you know, all of that. So we went through the first year and I think I got to the beginning of May and I was like, I'm done. I'm done. We have gone far enough. So the whole idea of summer schooling was like out the window, at least the way I was doing it. So we wrapped it up and I just needed like a brain dump then. And I was burned out, you know, for sure. And, so I had obviously neglected to take care of myself in that time frame and to keep feeding my spirit.
That was a good perspective that you had. Most people don't figure that out for years, that they haven't been feeding themselves until something, you know, a diagnosis or something like that comes along, or a nervous breakdown. After a word from our sponsor, we'll dive back into this conversation.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations, provided by Sped Homeschool. Go to spedhomeschool.com to get resources and support for teaching your unique learner at home.
And just kind of instinctively, because I do love creative things, I love crafty things and all that. I've only met one craft I don't really like, and that's sewing. So,
okay. So, well, at least you know.
Yes. So I decided to take all the pictures from the school year and make a scrapbook, which because I love scrapbooking, and although I haven't done it in a while now, but but I took over the table, the dining room table. I spread everything out, got the pictures, got the materials set out, and for the next week, other than, you know, do the necessary things for the kids, you know, make sure they're fed and clothed and whatever.
Right. You know, necessary.
I pretty much just scrapbooked that year's stuff. And so it was just such a blessed time, really, to sit and work on that. And, and it was when I finished it, you know, we could go over and celebrate what we had done. And I just was like, that's really important. I just realized it at that time, how important it is to do something like that, you know.
Something just to feed your soul. And and plus, it gave you the ability to see your homeschooling by taking a step back and seeing it through another set of eyes. Yeah. I know when we lived on a farm, I had a friend who was a photographer and she would come take pictures of my farm. And my farm was so much work. I had these huge organic gardens and I spent all my time in them. I never appreciated the beauty around me because I was so entrenched in it. It's that taking that step back and just seeing that from a different perspective that really allows you to understand just how beautiful a place you are in, instead of just looking at all the work and the chaos that happens within it.
Yeah, we put our nose to the grindstone and we miss out on so much.
Absolutely. Yeah, Creative Minds Homeschooling said sewing is my favorite and so easy. We're all different. You can trade projects if you need some sewing or other crafting. Don't come to me for any of that. That is not my gifting. Creativity.
That's a
good way to learn what you need to learn about feeding your spirit. And like I said, you know, a lot of parents don't realize this until it's gotten so bad that we don't even know why we're so bad off because we've just sunk in so deep. But realizing that you need that outlet, you need to be you instead of being what everybody else needs from you.
Yeah, moms always struggle with that a bit, and then exactly. you add homeschooling to it, and it just
right
you know,
and children with
sometimes.
Extraordinary mm-hmm. needs, and yeah. so you're always researching, like you were talking about earlier, and it seems like you lose who you are in that process. So, what does it mean to be creative, and how exactly does that feed your spirit? I think coming mm-hmm. at that from that angle would be a really helpful thing.
Yeah, that's a good question because, you know, I can't imagine anyone not liking arts and crafts, Peggy.
Oh, shucks.
But inevitably, when I talk about these things, I get from some that eye roll, you know, uh-huh.
Even like decorating the Christmas tree for me is not fun. That's a craft project yeah. in itself is what I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So they're, you know, God's made us all different.
Right. Exactly.
So some obviously tell me, hey, I'm not creative. Forget that.
Is that true that people aren't creative?
No, I think that's a myth because we don't think about the fuller concept of creativity.
Yeah,
you know, we tend to think about arts or music, maybe crafts, that kind of thing. And creativity is just in a way kind of this idea of making something, going, and sometimes it involves like creativity is outside the box of what right. has been done before. And mm-hmm. Building something, so producing that kind of thing. So
exactly,
you know.
Yeah. And I heard it once said that you know there's nothing new that we can make. God was the creator that made mm-hmm. something out of nothing. But we can take what God's created and we can change how it's used, mm-hmm. how it's mixed with other things, and that's the creative spirit of God within us, and mm-hmm. that's what we can draw on.
Yeah, we are all created in the image of God. And God is creator. I mean, he started,
right.
you know, look at the world. He created exactly. all this and he made us in his image. So I think every single person has some of that creativity of God's image.
Absolutely.
So I really think it's part of our purpose as human beings to express yes. his creativity in some way. And
right.
that looks different for different people. So
yeah.
You ask like, how can that be? Like we talked about how are accountants creative, you know?
Yeah.
Well, think about like, of course we think art, music, you know, those people
exactly.
are really creative, you know?
Yeah.
And, So I like those things. I like to dabble in them. I'm not particularly or extra gifted in those areas, but I still enjoy it. But we have, think about like the computer programmer. What are they
yeah.
doing? You know, they are creating something. They're writing code to create some kind of product that will be pleasing to other people and useful. What about architects and builders, that kind of thing? They're making something. They may have specs or whatever that they're doing, but I've met construction people who have wonderful ideas, you know, and they are so creative in the building process. And as for me as an accountant, the best part of the job, the thing I liked the most, was applying creative solutions to complex
yes.
problems, just learning to like taking those problems that everyone thinks are impossible and finding a new way to solve it. And so that's creative. So
exactly.
everyone has that in them.
Yes. Yeah. Just looking at it from a different perspective instead mm-hmm. of, you know, just that those few chosen activities are creative or artistic
yeah.
and really seeing really a lot of things that we do as being creative. And oftentimes we don't look at it that way.
Right. And so when we express creativity in some way and we do it intentionally, we are connecting with the Holy Spirit inside of us, the creative Holy Spirit inside of us. And we're inspired by the Spirit. And as we connect in that way, we are growing and developing and doing what we were created to do. And that's fulfilling.
It's very, yes, yes. I find myself often praying, you know, when I'm like choreographing, and I've been choreographing a lot lately for my aerial students. And it's like, oh, okay, God, I really don't even know what to do here. But, you know, my aerial is worship. And so I pray through it. And I really want what ends up to be worshiping to God, not just beautiful in man's eyes. And and so really anything that we can do is worship when it's put in that creative context, like you said, that connection and really making it prayerful and that meditation. You know, God tells us, and I was reading this morning, you know, think on what is good, what is pure, what is holy. And those are the beautiful things of the world, these creative things that we are dwelling on. And when we can focus our time on them, it feeds our soul, like you were talking about. And how scriptural is that?
Absolutely.
Okay, we got a funny from Creative Minds Homeschooling. She said, I am so creative that me and my husband made three children. Yes.
Indeed. That's a different type of creativity.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
So good. So we have a question that was sent in from one of our community through our online new form that we have for our shows. And she asked, how can someone develop a spiritual practice when it just seems like adding one more thing to the to-do list?
Yes. that's a very good question, because as moms, as homeschooling moms, or if you have a special needs child, or just, you know, just normal life adds up. And so we think of these things as one more thing to do, to check off the list. And that perspective might be a little bit off, because when we think of it that way, it can easily get shuffled down to lower on the list of priorities. And so, you know, you think about, I mean, okay, I've probably never forgotten to eat, but some people do. I realize
I do
this
all the time.
Some do.
I have a reminder on my phone that reminds me I have to eat.
No, okay, so you're
I'm one of those.
but most people, I think, probably remember to eat sooner or later, and so we have to also kind of tune into our spiritual needs. Like our stomach will tell us when we need something. And sometimes we get like where our ears aren't listening to that inner voice that's saying, oh, you need to take in some spiritual food as well. So of course, like we talked about, you know, one spiritual discipline that we never want to neglect is taking in the bread of life, the word of God. You know, that's that's, we have to do that. And so it needs to just become more of a practice, like eating, rather than, you know, something on the to-do list that can get shuffled down. And so this idea of just feeding your spirit with something creative and just connecting with God in that way can go along with that. I know I don't do this, but some people, even when they are studying the Word of God, will have those journals that they draw or doodle or whatever as they're studying the Word of God. That's another really creative outlet that you can connect with your Bible study even. So if it becomes that part of your day that's like non-negotiable, and then we can evaluate the other things that we're doing. And maybe one of those needs to be moved down the priority list. Maybe the house doesn't need to be cleaned quite as well as you thought. Maybe your children can take up some responsibility and you can let it go, you know, if it's not exactly to your standards, or maybe there's an activity that you need to cut out. And that's something we decide as we pray and ask God how to just order our days. We have to do that and be intentional about caring for ourselves.
That's so true. Yes, that ordering of days, that anxiety, and, you know, as you were talking, it just kept bringing to mind, we let our anxious thoughts lead our priorities versus what is so important to feed our soul, which anxiety will usually push out first because it doesn't seem like that's necessary. Unfortunately, it's what's most necessary and which we push out the easiest because it's not something we physically see in front of us, like the laundry piles and the dirty dishes and, you know, all the other things that come into that realm that build that anxiety. And yet saying, no, this is what's important. But as you make it a practice, and I want you to confirm this for me, because it's something that I've done, is I have made certain amounts of time in my morning for that creative, that spiritual practices. And, you know, it's going to be different for everybody, depending on the age of your children and your lifestyle and all of that. But just carving out time, and maybe it's with your kids. But when I do that, everything else is so much easier.
Such a good point, Peggy. Yeah.
It's amazing how God, just when that anxiety goes away, we can see so many things much more clear. And I don't know, it's something about honing into that truth, but that creativity and the Holy Spirit and everything all mixing together, and you finally feel whole. Like you've never felt whole before, because there's always something you're grasping at or missing, but you can, it's that peace, I guess. I'm speaking to myself.
Well, and to a lot of other people too, I think.
But yeah, we lose that peace so much in the world that we're in. So that takes me to, you know, a question of, you know, where can we find those places? And you wanted to talk a little bit about outdoors, and I'd love to bridge into that topic.
So we can, the Bible says, I think Psalm 19 says that the heavens declare the glory of God. Who hasn't looked at a sunset, watched the sun descending into the horizon, and just gone, wow, you know, and your spirit is stirred by that. I don't know about you, but sometimes I sit there trying desperately to get pictures on my phone, and
it never looks.
But you just want to hold on to that beauty. And so that, I mean, sometimes this idea of creatively feeding your spirit isn't something you're necessarily doing, but you are observing. Even, you know, we can go to an art museum and look at beauty there. We can listen to beautiful music, and that feeds our spirits, depending on our personality and, you know, things that the way God's made us. But certainly we can go outside. I don't really know of anyone that doesn't find some part of nature just inspiring. And so, you know, so you think about these things, getting out in nature, and I think about just how that helps us to know God. It does declare something about God. And we talked before about just when we get really busy, we don't pay attention. And so we need to, like, put time into our life, like, pay attention, look up from what we're doing and see it. It's always there for us to see. So, for instance, when, you know, getting outside with your kids, even for a walk, going out and just having some fun together. I love to go take them out, just give everybody a little sketch pad and some pencils or whatever, and teach them to actually sit still and observe something in nature and draw it. It's not about the drawing. I mean, they're drawing, who knows what it'll look like, but it's not about that. It's about learning to just sit and appreciate and observe the intricacies of the world. I think that's from like a Charlotte Mason thing, but yes. I love it. Or every season we had a habit that we would go and we would, every time the seasons changed, we would go out as a family with our camera and also a baggie, you know, a bag to put things in. And we would find signs of the season. So it'd be like signs of spring, fall, summer, whatever. Right. And so, and then we would come back with those things and we'd make a scrapbook. And so I have all these signs of spring or whatever scrapbooks that we would make. So it just, it takes you outside of that, you know, the sitting at the table or however you do your normal homeschool, and gets you outside. It gets you looking at the world in a new way.
Absolutely. And we can take school outside. We have that ability. We don't have to be locked to our dining room table or hopefully not desks in your house. Yeah. ours was usually underneath the dining room table.
Yes.
But yeah, it puts that a whole new environment on it, a new feeling. Everybody feels a little more energized. And God's creation, I mean, you can't but not be in wonder when you look at it in, you know, large scope, and when you look at it in the microscopic levels. Everything just has his fingerprint on it. It's so amazing when we take the time to see his creativity. It inspires our own. And so we have to make time for it.
He made all this world for us to enjoy. And I think he's so pleased when we really attempt to discover what all the things he's created. I can just kind of imagine him watching us like we would watch a toddler who's figuring something out for the first time. And I think it just makes his heart smile at us.
Yes, absolutely. And we want that. We want that for us. We want that for our children. And so to cultivate that means just building in that time and those moments and being purposeful about that, instead of saying, well, let's just rush through, you know, everything we need to get through for today, and then maybe we'll have a little time outside. Instead, think of different ways that you can get outside, like Annie's talking about, and feed yourself too. Don't just think about feeding your children, because, you know, they're going to, unfortunately, they follow what you do. More so than what you say. And they're going to repeat the same bad habits you have about putting things off. And, you know, no matter what good curriculum or projects you already have planned for them this year or last year or years to come with homeschooling, it really boils down to what have you prioritized. And so, you know, I can look back and say I messed up a lot, but there's lots of room for improvement. Yes.
Thank God for grace that covers all those things.
Exactly. Yes. So what are the foundation building blocks that allow time? Because I think this goes back to our viewers' question previously, you know, like I can't add something new to my list, but what are those building blocks that can allow time for spiritual and creative nurturing? You know, let's get to the core.
Yeah, that's when I was thinking about this question. I was like, yeah, there's so much on the list, and we need to figure out how to make it possible. You know, how do we do that? So I think of it as, think of space. The word space comes to my mind. We need to put space in our schedules, first of all.
Yes.
Now I'm preaching to myself here, like you were earlier. I can fill every nook and cranny of a schedule, trust me. And I am very efficiently.
It's that A-type personality.
So, you know, back to back, I can hit them all. You know, that's my gift. But it's also my downfall sometimes.
Yes, because you get to the end of the day and you're like, what did I do? Yeah. And
so we need to build space into that schedule. Maybe, you know, it'll look different for different people, like you said, about seasons of life and things like that. But we need to set boundaries on that schedule. The world tells us our kids need all kinds of things that they don't really need. Right. They need you. They need their dad. They need that, you know, that nurturing environment. They do not need every sport. They do not need even straight A's. They don't need every academic subject before they get out of high school. We start on this rat race that is not necessary.
Yeah. And it's home that anxiety moms, within our yes. kids too by doing that.
Yep. And we feel like it's all up to us. So we get really, yes. you know, push that so much. But we can't jump off that. And so, you know, for me, it may have, like, at times it looked like a break every afternoon at 2 o'clock, you know. Right. We just said this next half hour is our break time. And everyone, you know, gets 30 minutes to go do something that feeds their spirit, some creative thing. For others, that's going to look different. When you have little kids, you know, you're going to have to have them around, you know, right? You may just throw some materials on the table and let them have at it while you have a cup of tea. I don't know. But yeah, you have to build that time and you have to say no to some of those things that are driving you, you know, into that frantic pace. And those things, your kids aren't going to, you know, suffer for that. No. They will not, I promise you. It's hard to know that when you're in the thick of it, but exactly. I promise they won't. I'm on the other side now. So the other space I would think about is the space in our homes. When we have, now I'm not saying I'm the most, we all have different tolerances for disorganization. And so I'm not like
how
setting,
you put that.
I'm not setting the bar that high, but within your tolerance, you need to sort of have things organized to a point where you can lay hands on things you need, where you can, where you kind of think ahead, like, well, if I were going to be creative, what might I need in my home, you know, and get that ahead of time and have it available for your kids. You know, if your kids are like builders with blocks and things like that, which is a great creative outlet, you know, have those handy. Don't have them like, you know, all over the house in little bits, you know, bring them together or think about what your kids, you know, what things they might need to get creative, or for yourself as well. If you decide you want to try doing some kind of artwork, some kind of painting, make sure you have those materials. Okay. And then, you know, you have your space organized in your house, a place where you might be able to do that. You have space in your schedule.
Yes.
And then the last space I like to talk about is space in our mind. Because creativity requires like a mind that maybe even feels bored sometimes.
Right.
That's
so true.
We fill, these days especially, fill our minds with noise all the time.
Yes. Yeah.
On our phones, on our video games, and you know, that's adults, kids, whatever. We fill the space and in our minds. So music playing all the time. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having music on. That's great. Or listening to podcasts. You know, certainly we wouldn't want to cut out this one.
Right. But, this is important.
but I know I'm an author. And what I find is obviously I turn things off when I'm writing.
Oh, yeah.
But beyond that, I find if I have not given my mind space that's quiet, like where I don't throw noise at it all the time. You know, in the car, I love to listen to music, but sometimes I just turn it off because then my mind is percolating. Right. And that's when those creative juices start mixing around and you come up with some new idea. And I personally, for the writing thing, I keep something on my, like, I just quick, whatever comes to my mind that feels like, oh, that's a great idea, write it down. You can do the same thing for yourself. Allow room in your mind for your thoughts just to percolate, you know, like and create something new. And your kids need that too. Our brains are physiological and they adjust physically to what we put into them. And so we want to give them time to get away from the noise.
Exactly. So we've got a really pertinent question from one of our viewers regarding that, asking, how do I give my kids guidance when all they want to do is go to video games during that quiet time? And so they need to learn the practice of that boredom, that quiet time. Mm-hmm. How do we encourage that and cultivate that? Oh,
that's so good, because often we kind of just fall into the habit of using videos or TV or phones or whatever to just take over that boredom. So, I mean, I will say I'm grateful, because I never, like, we really had almost none of that raising our kids. And so it was not as big of a deal. But once you've fallen into that practice, you do need to retrain. Like, you can't just throw it out there like, okay, we're going to go be quiet now.
Right. I mean, so, it's not a learned practice.
Hey, you have to teach. Yeah. So, for instance, like going outside with a sketch pad and sitting and looking at a bug or whatever, a leaf, is not normal for most people these days.
Yes.
So true. Our kids go out there and they have no idea what to do with that. They sit there for 2 minutes, whip out something on their sketch pad, and oh, I'm done.
But
you have to kind of look for yourself, first of all, teach yourself, but start saying, okay, what else do we see? What do we hear? What are our senses? You know, let's stop and think. And it's going to have to be something you build up to. Build that tolerance and practice it over time. And then, you know, kind of reward yourself. Like, if your kids have done something, created something, make a big deal out of it. Like, at dinner time, bring them out, show the whole family, you know, let them explain what they did, or, you know, that kind of thing. So it becomes a motivating thing as well.
Yeah, that's great ideas, because it's almost like a withdrawal, and so you have to like take baby steps into that. We would just take our kids camping, and they couldn't plug in to things, and eventually they would just realize, oh, I've got to do something else with my time, and so that's the hardcore way of doing that. And especially if you don't have the ability to get up and do something like that, those small practices can be very beneficial. And it's also a way of training us at the same time as training our children. I mean, I remember getting a question from a viewer probably a year and a half ago saying, I just don't know how to be quiet. There's so much like noise in my life. I don't even know how to rest anymore. And so, you know, taking that step back, if that is how you are feeling, it's because you don't have that quiet, you don't have that restful time to just do nothing and to allow your brain just to freely explore anymore. I think that's a great perspective, Annie. And it's something we don't talk about enough, but we were wired to be that way, that to draw on that creative spirit, not just to constantly be fed with all the information and everything we're barraged with on a constant basis, to just take that time and to plan it and to be purposeful with it. I love, love, love that. So good. Yeah. Camping in Minnesota doesn't work well right now. Yes, it's a little chilly right there. I wouldn't recommend it. My husband has done that before, and I said, no way, Jose, I'm not going with you. It didn't even sound fun. He froze all night. Okay.
No, I was glad my husband did the Boy Scout camping trips in the middle of winter, not me.
Yes, exactly. You go sleep in that sleeping bag in the snow. That's not happening. So how can we include our kids in with our own? Because I think sometimes we think, okay, well, this activity is for a child and this one's for us. How do we bring that all in one place? So again, it's not this, well, I got to find time if I have to find a sitter or, somebody to, or when my husband's home and I'm not, but we don't get enough time together. What are some better solutions that we can just incorporate this all together?
Yeah, such a good point that we have to, you know, that is the essence of homeschooling, isn't it?
They're with you all the time.
So you have to figure out how to be that model for them and
absolutely
enter into it with them. I mean, as for learning, I loved learning alongside my kids. I certainly learned more teaching them than I ever learned in school.
Right.
But anyways, we do have to nurture that in our kids, lead by example. And so we're demonstrating it and also coming alongside them to do it with them. And so, for instance, my kids took music lessons. So I never had music lessons when I was a kid. I think I would have loved that then. I certainly had the longing to do it as an adult, but didn't have the money because I always said I'd send myself once I was done paying for my kids. And I still might. I haven't paid for my own yet. But I will tell you, I sat there when they were having their lessons and I watched, I learned. I didn't sit there and try anything with that teacher. But when I went home, I did what they had been taught. So with that, I, you know, have learned to play the piano a little bit, enough to enjoy it. And, and I love to sit at my keyboard and just play a couple songs. You know, when I have a few minutes in the day, I just sit down and play that. Somewhere, I think it was during COVID, I got the bright idea to get a ukulele and figure out how to play that. So I'm still working on that.
My husband did too, and it's under our bed right now. Yeah, it didn't go very far.
Hasn't seen the light of day lately. But bring them into your hobbies if that's something they like to do. Even something like cooking can be very creative. So that's definitely, that hits so many check marks in one activity. You're teaching them life skills. You're doing the creative thing. You're teaching them math with the rest. Anyways, that's the homeschool mom. I'm thinking of filling out a portfolio, like all the things I can check off.
Right, exactly. I can do 5 subjects in 1 hour.
So, you know, get creative with that. Even hospitality, this is not
absolutely
like the art of hospitality. I call it like not just the mindset of it, but making a beautiful table is not like my gift, let's say. But but it's really neat to create that. And if that's something your kid likes, let them have at it. You know, give them the materials they need.
Great idea.
Let them fold the napkins. Let them organize the plates, whatever. And let them express themselves that way. Of course, you know, things like art and music. When I was doing co-ops teaching, I would always teach the art class. Now, I'm not an artist, but
that's interesting.
But I mean, the art, I wasn't teaching like, like at that level, that expert level. But, you know, I would find books that would teach about the different masters. I have a favorite one. I can't remember the name right now, but it taught about all the different masters and their techniques. And the curriculum was basically you would just, for each one, you would learn about the artist, the history of it. You would try the technique that they had. So, I love doing that because then I would get all the materials and, you know, I would have to do it first, of course, to make sure it worked. Then I would do it with them. And so that was just a way to bring the kids into it and do it myself. So we have like beautiful creations from those classes when I would do those. So there's all kinds of ways. There's lots more when you really kind of think outside the box. You can find ways to be creative in so many different ways. You know, kids, boys might like things that are mechanical. So, you know, tearing things apart, seeing how they work, putting things back together. Just, you know, get it out on the table and let them do it. You know,
it's
let them figure out how to solve the problems. Like, you don't need to know it all. You can put them on that test and say, okay, we'll see if you can figure that out. Let them work at it. That's what their brains need.
Yes, they do. They need a challenge, and it's better than to be always challenged by academic things, but that creative, that stretching of, you know, there is no right answer. Let's come up with, you know, some, and that's creativity. When we're just striving to get the answer right to the question that's already been answered, that's just regurgitating.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that creative spirit is, you know, like we had talked about earlier, it's that piecing things together that have never been together. And what does that look like? And can we press on with that with ourselves and our kids? And I think a good way to kind of think about that is, you know, a cook follows a recipe, mm-hmm. and a chef creates a dish.
Yeah.
You know, we could still have similar ingredients, but there's something different about just techniques and things that you do that make that, you know, a creative outlet versus just a task. And we can do that with so many things in our lives.
Right. I will have to put one plug in as a writer. Yes. Make that. There's a lot of creativity in writing too. So, you know, yeah. try to make that like more than just the grammar and that you're working
absolutely.
Through, slogging through the grammar and all that. But use those vocabulary words. You know, try some poetry, whatever. You know,
yes.
I don't consider myself to be a poet, but I do just every now and then. Like, let's challenge myself to write a poem. You know, and it's like it makes your brain think in a new way. And I'm often pleasantly surprised, not always, but sometimes.
I think that's a really good point to add on to this, is that you have to be very forgiving to yourself, because everything is not going to turn out good all the time. You know, we're just trial and error, and you're learning as you're going, and the same thing with your kids. And it's about the experience. It's not so much about the end product.
Right.
That process that we're going through, and that we're learning more about ourselves. We're learning more about how God created us, our gifts, and the same for our children.
Yeah, so I would just add that we do have to kind of be a student of our children and kind of figure out what makes them tick, so
absolutely.
We can nurture that in them. So, you know, just be observing what they get excited about doing and try to feed that. So, I mean, I think at first you sort of give them all kinds of opportunities to let them try. And then at some point they may really gravitate toward one type of activity. And then you want to really nurture that by giving them more opportunities in that area.
Exactly. And, you know, it can flourish, and then can eventually with my daughter, I taught her how to sew. She loved sewing, and then all of a sudden it was gone. And then she was doing art. And then all of a sudden the sewing machine came back out like 5 years later. So you just never know. So don't give up on it either, is kind
That's
of
right.
what I'm trying to say, is that sometimes it just takes, you know, sewing is a difficult thing. And sometimes it might take something that would spur on that creativity and that giftedness a little later on. So don't say, well, we've done there, tried that, you're never going to do it again.
Right.
Leave those doors open.
There's developmental levels to everything.
Exactly. So true. Well, Annie, this has been so encouraging to me, and I hope it's been the same for our community that's been listening and watching. I'm very sure that this has been great. And thank you for just sharing from your heart and from your life, and just what you're passionate about. Because that's it's so important that we share from our passions, because that just encourages others to be passionate about things that that maybe they've never even thought of before. So it's great. So how can our viewers connect with you and your resources?
I would love to connect with your viewers. And so I have a couple of avenues for that. First of all, my website is annieyorty.com. And you can go there and you can find a weekly blog that basically, as I said earlier, I just find that sometimes I get my head down and get into that task of life and just forget to look around. And I remember this story of Abraham and Isaac, and when Isaac was strapped to the altar, and it says in the Bible that all of a sudden, like, he's ready to light the wood on fire, and he looks up, and there is God's provision, that ram. And so he looked up. Those words just struck me. And so I think so often we don't look up, and my goal is to encourage other people to look up and see what God is doing in that circumstance, whether it's the mundane, yes, you're changing diapers all the time, or whether it's the crazy, like your child has all kinds of medical needs, who knows, but God is always there doing, yes, something new in your life. Yes. So that's my goal at my blog, to help people to see that and encourage them in that way. I also write for crosswalk.com. There I tend to write in their family section and their homeschool section. And one of my favorite things to write about is holidays. I like to have fun. And so I write about a lot of fun ideas at the at holidays. So you'll find things like that there. I also am just starting a podcast, yes, for special needs moms, and it's called Ordinary Moms of Extraordinary Kids. And so it's, great, I know we're really busy, so we don't have a lot of time, but it's just like a 10-minute snippet of Bible encouragement for the special needs mom. Really, any mom could be encouraged by it. But I kind of keep this group in mind when I'm doing those podcasts. So that's, it's just great, like I open the Bible and draw some encouragement from it and share that with the listener. So I hope some of you will find your way there. I am just kind of getting that online rolling this week. So it will be on my website also.
Okay. Yeah. And we'll share all those links, as well as Annie's social media links, all in the description of the YouTube video and the podcast once this video is over. We usually update the description at that point. So,
I have one more, just one more thing I'll throw out there. Yeah. I have my book.
My first
published book is coming out in March, and it is called Journey, or just From Ignorance to Bliss, God's Heart Revealed Through Down Syndrome. And it's a memoir style book showing how it's God's story of how he taught me to know him and trust him through the experience of having a child with Down syndrome. So I get really transparent, let's say, and tell the stories, and a lot of them have to do with homeschooling. So I think really any parent would identify.
Great encouragement.
our kids are, kids that with special needs are still kids. And so parenting is still parenting. It really, anyone I think would enjoy that book, but it's got a lot about homeschooling in it. So I think your listeners will like that as well and find encouragement.
Absolutely. So we'll be watching for that in March. This podcast will come out the end of December, I believe. And so you still got a couple months to wait. But if you're listening later, it might already be available. You just never know.
Well, we can connect on my website. Just do the subscribe there and you will get it. I don't spam anyone, just an occasional email with the updates on that.
Yes. Well, your voice lasted, Annie.
It did. God
provided. Yes. I'm so thankful because you have such a powerful message, and thank you for sharing it with us today.
I have enjoyed being with you so much.
Yeah, this has been great. And thank you all for joining us on this broadcast. Make sure you do check out Annie's website and her resources. Just encouragement for you in your journey as a homeschooling parent and a believer and a parent of a struggling child, all those things together. It makes life hard. We know that. And that's why we want to give you this encouragement and connect you with people like Annie who are just walking that road alongside you. And so great conversation. So we kicked off this month. This was our first interview. We're doing parent care this month, if you haven't guessed that. But we're caring for our team a little bit this month, too. So we're actually doing all of our broadcasts in 2 weeks this month so that my team and I can have a little time with our families this Christmas. So our next broadcast is actually in 2 days. It's on Thursday, which isn't typical for us, but we're going to fit one in Thursday, next Tuesday, and then next Friday. And all of my interviews after today for this month are going to be in person at my house, in my studio, because these are all dear friends of mine that are going to be on the show. My chiropractor and nutritionist is coming to my house on Thursday. Her name is Dr. Amber Sorsic, and she is going to talk about having healthy boundaries as a homeschool mom, a practicing chiropractor and nutritionist, and a wife, a believer. And so she's going to give us some powerful tools. I prayed, you know, I asked her, I said, pray about their topic. And I thought she's going to talk about nutrition or, you know, all of this. She's like, no, I want to talk about boundaries. So, you know, do that. And then Leslie Hurd from my church and a fellow just nutrition buff with me is going to talk about nutrition 101 for the busy homeschooling parent. And we both have been through some struggles, and she's going to talk a lot about just what you need to know that maybe your health practitioner does not tell you about healthy living, healthy eating. And then on that Friday, my dear friend Lisa, who walked me through my cancer journey and has a mast cell issue, she has spoken so much truth in life into my healing journey and my health since then. And we're just going to have an intimate talk about some things maybe that you've never even heard of that can be added to your lifestyle to make you more healthy and just to grow you and keep you, you know, vital as you're raising your kids instead of forgetting about yourself. And there's so many things you can build in that are just so easy that you just probably don't even know about. So that's what's coming up. So you'll definitely want to be sticking around this month for that. So anyways, thank you all for joining us. Appreciate your time again, Annie, and all that you had to share with us. Empowering Homeschool Conversations is an outreach of SPED Homeschool, a 501c3 nonprofit. You can go to spedhomeschool.com to get resources and support for teaching your unique learner at home. To help us fund our nonprofit outreach to families, home educating diverse learners, you can click on our donate button and give a one-time donation or become a monthly supporter. And like I said, later this week, we got some great conversations coming up and next week too. So take care, God bless, and I will see you all back here in a couple days. Bye, everybody. I want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on this podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
This has been Empowering Homeschool Conversations with Peggy Ployer.
The Historical Jesus Podcast is the sweeping saga of the life and times of Galilean Jesus of Nazareth, as well as the faith, religion, and church founded to honor and disseminate his acts and teachings. Join me, Mark Vinette, on this fascinating journey through time, exploring the many great works of Christian theology, literature, architecture, music, and art inspired by the words and deeds of Jesus Christ.